The theme from the scripture from Wednesday, the what that Jesus saves. Are we to look for another? The theme from Thursday, the so what of getting baptized. Least in the kingdom is greater. Amen. The theme for today, now what? Go serve? For it comes from the scripture we'll see in Luke 7. Forgiven much, love much. We've seen from our salvation and the first message that we have a new birth to rejoice in. The so what, the getting baptized, we now have a new home to belong with. And now, for our service, we have a new identity to live out. Notice each one of these builds on the other. And before I forget to mention, for the record, I swear I heard the host pastor say we're not on any time schedule today. There, we have no stop time. There is no one after me that I'm holding up. So, hey, of course there is lunch, so I know how that goes. Luke chapter 7. Let's pick up where we left off. We'll be picking up now in verse 36 with the theme of forgiven much, love much. Luke 7, 36. Now one of the Pharisees was requesting him. Oh, hang on. I have to pause right here. I was inspired by those who have been using their high technology phones for their services, so I have to do the same. Okay. Now, makes a great paperweight there. Amen, now, verse 36 of Luke 7. Now one of the Pharisees was requesting him to eat with him. And he requested, and he entered the Pharisee's house, reclined at the table. There was a woman in the city who was a sinner. And when she learned that he was reclining at the table with the Pharisee, at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster vial of perfume and standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears, wiped them with the hair of her head, and began kissing his feet and anointing them with the perfume. Now, when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of person this woman is who is touching him, that she is a sinner." Keep in mind, this is one of the religious leaders of the people here. Verse 40, and Jesus responded. And I love this because Simon the Pharisee didn't say this out loud. Jesus knew, of course. He knows what's in the heart of man. Jesus responded and said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." And he replied, "Say it, teacher." Now, the Tulare Church knows I love the fact that Bible translations get updated to our modern language, but why don't they do that for weights and measures and currencies and things like that? So, denarii plural, that's a day's wages. So if we're going to talk about money here and wages here. So if we say a day's wage, let's make it easy, $20. So $20 an hour times 8 hours, $160 a day. Okay. So a moneylender had two debtors. The one who owed 500 denarii, 500 days wages, 500 times 160, that's $80,000. Just so we can kind of relate. And the other, 50. Okay, you can just move the decimal over, but 50 times 160, that's $8,000. So one owed $80,000, the other owed $8,000 for our frame of reference. Jesus goes on to say, verse 42, when they were unable to repay, he canceled the debts of both. So which of them will love him more? Simon answered and said, "I assume the one for whom he canceled the greater debt." And he said to him, "You have judged correctly." And turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman?" Sounded like he saw her, but hear the question. Do you see this woman? "I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, She has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss. She has not stopped kissing my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with perfume. For this reason, I say to you, her sins, which are many, you had that right, Simon, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven, for she loved much. But the one who is forgiven little, loves little. And he said to her, your sins have been forgiven. And then those who were reclining at the table with him began saying to themselves, who is this man who even forgives sins? And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Now, before I forget to say this, just to set the record straight, God is not interested in counting the sins. Okay, I'm in accounting. Okay, so it's not a case, okay, you got so much credit going in, so much good coming in, so much bad going out. Spending money is bad. Money coming in is good. You got so much good coming in, so much bad going out. Let's see how it all measures out and reconciles with the books and all. This is, God doesn't care. It's not a contest how many sins anyone. I'm no better because I know of three sins of mine, but five sins of yours. No. How many sins does it take to be, how many licks to get to the lollipop? How many sins does it take to be in danger of hell? One. I like to say, there's only one sin that sends us to hell. Our first one. Whatever it is. So Simon's kind of missing the mark here. It's not a case that she had more, that he had less sins, and so that he did not have less or lesser sins. Sin is sin in the eyes of God. And forgiveness is forgiveness. Grace is grace. Mercy is mercy. So I mentioned this is about after we've been saved, after we've been baptized, now go serve. Wait a minute, preacher, pastor, brother here. I'm not seeing where we're confirmed that this woman was a saved, baptized member of any church here. Well, like the original message on salvation, there's a theme here. Let me clear say very clearly for anyone who is a saved, baptized member of any church. If we don't love like this woman loved, our service means nothing. If we don't have the heart of understanding the forgiveness we've received and aren't motivated and inspired and moved by that, our service means nothing. We've been forgiven much. Brothers and sisters, let's love much. So we're going to talk about this a bit. Again, I hope we hear through in each of these messages the heart urgency that the Lord has, wanting all to be saved, wanting all to be baptized, come to the knowledge of the truth. And yes, recognizing we've been forgiven much, love much, go, serve. I pray that we all know salvation, baptism, service. We're not worthy of any of it. But in the eyes of God, we are worth being brought into every single bit of it. If we don't appreciate, and I want to keep these messages streaming and related and overlapping, if we don't appreciate the before and after of our baptism, from being spiritual orphans on the street to being heirs with Christ in the family home, we won't fully grasp or have a proper inspiration and motivation for our service. And sharing some of my experiences in our missionary Baptist churches, I've seen we love it, rightfully so, when someone's looking to be getting saved and they get saved. We lift them up. Hooray! You're under conviction. Hooray! You got saved. We love it when someone's received the Lord's working, the Holy Spirit's working. They're wanting to get baptized and they bring, hooray! You got saved. Hooray! You're getting baptized. Then you got baptized. Okay, we're done. They got saved, they got baptized, and we just drop them. It's like, well, that was what we're trying to do, right? Get them saved, get them baptized, now they're in. Now you're old news. Now you're just like the rest of us, right? All good. I think we might be missing something in the equation there. Let's understand the picture here of going from salvation to baptism to service. I mentioned in the last message that for a saved, unbaptized person, It's like they've had the Passover blood of the Lamb applied to the doorposts of their heart. They've been saved from the death has been passed, that has passed over them. But they're in a wilderness journey, looking for, needing to be in that promised land that's waiting for them, crossing the Jordan through a baptism to be part of the church body and the family. That's what the Lord would have for them. God's purpose for them. Well, today, talking about us who are already saved and baptized, for us, we're kind of like Joshua and Caleb. We've had our baptism through the Exodus Sea. This world is our wilderness. Our crossing is a crossing of the Jordan into an eternal promised land. Our baptism into this church family. This wilderness we search through, we go through. Why? Because we are desiring a better country, a heavenly one. Our heavenly promised land ahead, entered by crossing the Jordan of death into eternity. Unless the Lord comes back first, which I wouldn't mind. It's been said that the last words of General Thomas E. Stonewall Jackson were, "Let us cross over the river and rest under the shade of the trees." There's been a lot of speculation what he was referring to, what was on his heart and mind. I'm reminded of Micah chapter 4. Micah chapter 4 verse 4 says, "Instead, each of them will sit under his vine and under his fig tree." Okay, that verse began with "instead." Instead of what? We go back to verse 3. "And never again will they train for war." I'm sure Stonewall liked that idea. No more war. Rest from that. Micah 4, by the way, is an end times passage. And I think a great question to ask about end times is end of what? We just think the end of everything. Well, let's break it down. There are some things that I'm glad to see ending. According to that Micah 4 passage, there's going to be an end to war. An end to strife. Can you imagine? One day, brethren, rest when our warfare is past. And if at any time the weather gets so bad we want to pause and move, I'm adaptable, we can do that. But here's the thing. Rest was referenced from Hebrews 3 and 4. Rest from our labors means that until we enter that rest, we still labor. But we know we don't labor in vain. We actually know it is a labor of love. You know, funny thing. This guy, Simon the Pharisee, apparently knew this woman and knew all about her. But you know what? I've lived in small towns. She knew him. I bet there was a lot she could say about him. But here's the thing about this woman and her forgiveness, which, by the way, she didn't get forgiven because she loved. No, she loved because she had already been forgiven. Christ was confirming what had already happened in her heart. This woman loved so much. Now, if Jesus were not in town or in the guy's house, would she care or even bother to go anywhere near the house of Simon the Pharisee? I think not. Jesus is in town. Great. He's over at Simon's house. Ugh. That did not stop her. She was not going to let anything stop her from going to be where Jesus was. Where the master is, there the servant will be also. If you have a heart for God, you love him, you're grateful for your forgiveness, be where he is. Go where he is. Where he calls you to be. Funny thing is, talking about churches, yeah, sadly we sometimes see members who are like Simon the Pharisee. While we see others in the very same church, like this woman, just wanting to be at the feet of Jesus and not caught up in all these other things. You know what makes zero sense in the sight of God? Church members, someone was telling me about the Noah's Ark exhibit that they saw the other. on a separate note there. I don't have 40 days here, but what makes zero sense in the eyes of God church members snubbing other church members. Or anyone else, for that matter. Think about it. Do you really think, you're still good with Jesus when you're doing that? Of course not. We know better. Sometimes it's our own church leaders that do that and lead others astray in that. I mentioned when I first came here that I didn't know all of y'all, so you don't have to worry about messages being directed. You can't blame me for it being directed. But I mentioned there might be an exception, Brother Noah. I gave a hint this might be coming. This part's absolutely directed at you. Y'all can benefit too. Great leaders. Who doesn't want to be a great leader, right? Brother Noah is about to embark on a call to leadership. He's already led out in many ways in the work in the faith, and we're grateful for that. The idea of being a great leader. The idea of greatness. You know, one of my favorite guys, President Ronald Reagan, was nicknamed the Great Communicator. You know what he actually said about that? He said, nah, I don't know that I would call myself a great communicator. I'd like to think that really it was just a case of I wanted to communicate great things. If you want to be a great leader, for you to be the great leader I know the Lord's going to make you to be and already has been making you to be, lead in great things. What is great? Micah 6:8 is great, for one example. Lead in God-honoring Christian love, grace, and humility. Years ago, Brother Howard came back to Redondo Beach to preach a revival. And his theme was from Judges 5, verse 2, the Song of Deborah and Barak. Oh, that the leaders led in Israel, and that the people followed or volunteered. Bless the Lord. That sat with me. Another translation would read, for the leaders that are leading in Israel, and for the people that are volunteering or following, bless the Lord. We need people to lead. We need people to voluntarily follow. This is great stuff. But what are we leading in? Are we understanding this forgiveness and loving much, and then therefore going and serving? If we're going to talk about love, and understand all these different things we talk about, whether it's looking out for deception, all these things, seeing the love of God piercing through, trying to reach us all. If we're going to understand love, what are we told about love? Love never fails. I'll never forget the words of my first pastor. All sin is a failure of love. Every sin is a failure of love somehow. A failure to love God. Maybe a failure to love each other. Can even be a failure to love our own selves under God. A true servant, someone whose heart has truly been won by God, they recognize how much grace and mercy, forgiveness they've received, they don't care anymore. A true servant doesn't dictate or pick and choose how they're going to serve. Try that with any king. Why would we try that with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? In the church, we're called to be of the same mind toward one another. I've told the Tulare Church often about a bumper sticker I saw once. Jesus loves you, and I'm trying. Yeah. We know better than anyone. We don't deserve to be saved or baptized or serving. Yet, it is because of just that kindness and sacrifice of Jesus. Here we are. By the grace of God, I am what I am, and you are what you are. Grace doesn't sweat the small stuff. We give grace, not grief. The funny thing is, when it comes to needing Jesus, Simon and the woman are equals. Simon just didn't see his need. Why did he love less? He was forgiven less. Why was he forgiven less? Because he didn't see his need to be forgiven. When we get it, like this woman, really get it, as the woman at Jesus' feet did, we can't help but feel humbly awestruck. grateful, relief, joy, inspiration, resolve, love, forgiven much, love much, so much that it's automatic. You don't have to think about it. You do because you love. Like this woman, let nothing or no one stop or get in the way, the weather or anything. All of our service toward anyone is an act of love toward Jesus Christ. Is that hail? Hail Jesus! Yes. Please join me in Psalm 15. In Psalm 15, y'all can duck and cover, gather in, whatever you need to do. I thought it was the postman who was supposed to be able to do his job in all weather. Instant in, season and out, yeah. Psalm 15. How are we going to do this? Okay, we've talked about being saved, talked about being baptized, now learning to serve. What is it like? How are we going to be equipped to do what we're called upon to do? Psalm 15. Lord, who may reside in your holy tent? His tabernacle, the place he causes his name to dwell. Who may reside there? Who may settle on your holy hill? Thank you, Brother Howard, for the different mounts that you described. The points of elevation, lifted up places. That is his holy church. We're seated in heavenly lifted up places. Who can do this? Verse 2. One who walks with integrity, practices righteousness, and speaks truth in his heart. Verse 3, he does not slander with his tongue, nor do evil to his neighbor, nor bring shame on his friend. Sometimes we feel like we can't treat each other bad because we love each other like family, and that's what we do to family. We treat each other bad. We protect and we don't let anyone else treat family bad, but we treat family bad because we love them. Love thinks a little better than that. Love loves a little more than that. And we could play and joke and jostle. We get the difference. We don't cause hurt at someone else's expense if we truly love them. Verse 4, a despicable person is despised in his eyes, but he honors those who fear the Lord. He takes an oath to his own detriment, does not change. He does not lend his money at interest, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. One who does these things will never be shaken. Amen. By the grace of God, every single one of you and me, we can do just that as we go and serve. Move over to Psalm 26. Psalm 26, verse 8. David writes, Psalm 26, 8, Lord, I love the dwelling of your house and the place where your glory remains. When a place that is placed by God is called a house of God, which should be your local home church, if that place, naming God, is conducting itself with the heart and spirit and attitude of God, that is glorious. That is what we are called to. Part of our service is glorifying that, polishing up and keeping and preserving and maintaining and keeping it beautiful in that heart and spirit. Verse 9, do not take away my soul along with the sinners, nor my life with the men of bloodshed, in whose hands is a wicked scheme, whose right hand is full of bribes. Verse 11, but as for me, I will walk in my integrity. Now, when the psalmists talk about integrity, when the Bible talks about integrity, it's not, hey, God, check me out because I'm good. It's actually the opposite. I'm honest before God. He knows where I've failed and fallen short and missed the mark, and he loves me anyway. When I repent, he forgives. When we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive every time. He forgave me when he saved me. He forgave me in my messed up journey between salvation and baptism. He has forgiven me way more times since my baptism than before. By grace, we learn to be better servants of him, to grow and to be gracious. For me, I will walk in my integrity. Verse 11, redeem me and be gracious to me. Verse 12, I pray everyone who's a saved, baptized member of the Lord's church can recite, could rejoice and honestly say, verse 12 is you. My foot stands on level ground. Amen. Does your life stand on level ground? Have you been forgiven much and you are therefore loving much as you are going and serving and you realize your life under God is on solid ground? Yes, sister wife, even when we live in earthquake California. Yes. The verse isn't done. In the congregations, I will bless the Lord. We're to bless the Lord and proclaim Him to the world, sure. We're to live it at home with our church family. Part of our going is we don't have to go very far. Let's go to each other and promote and lift up the Lord together with each other. Now, I'm going to do something here that wasn't part of the original plan. Because I was inspired by my other brethren, so I can use them as an excuse. You can blame them. Some of them said, they actually went home after great services here, went back to the hotel, and actually wrote a few more things down. Well, I didn't use my fancy high-tech phone to do this, but I did use the printer at the Fairfield Inn. So, this is a personal note for me that I didn't expect to be writing, but I'm very blessed that I can honestly share what I'm about to share. On Wednesday, said I didn't know you well enough to preach a directed message this week. I can't say that anymore. I've quickly gotten to know you and love you very much. So now I can preach a directed message. That's not what I'm here. When I first got here on Wednesday, after coming off the road, sat down to dinner, I was immediately engaged in conversation with a certain little blonde girl, Miss Kaylee. She said, I'm 7 years old, though I only look six. I've been in gymnastics. As she was talking with me, she kept stepping on my foot. She then proceeded to tell me, yeah, I step on people's feet. Now, I share this because little Miss Kaylee reminded me of someone. Years ago, there was another 7-year-old blonde girl who would soon get involved in gymnastics. I also remember her fondly. I fondly remember her stepping on my feet when we talked. It was my own daughter, Alyssa, who's no longer that 7-year-old girl. She's now grown up, has her own house across the street, which, by the way, has a brand new AC unit for those who are there. Inside joke for those who are here. But talking with Kaylee, flashing back to Alyssa all those years ago, thinking of her life from then to now, did I do right by her by signing up with these crazy missionary Baptists? It's a question. Our children's lives are drastically affected by our choices as adults. Growing up in this work, Alyssa saw so many of her friends walk away while she stayed the same. She never turned on any of them nor dropped any of them, but many did that very thing to her. So many times when I've seen that happen with adults and kids, I'm reminded of the movie Forrest Gump. It's been out for a few years. I assume everyone's seen it by now. Sorry for any spoilers. Those of us who stay are like Forrest, and those who leave are like Jenny, who almost comes, she almost pats Forrest on the head and says, you're sweet and quaint, but I'm going to go chase after all these sparkly things over here. Now, the famous line of the movie, other than the one about the box of chocolates, is the line, stupid is as stupid does. My actual favorite line from the movie is, I may not be a smart man, but I know what love is. When people walk away, breaking my heart, my breaking heart says, We may not rate compared to all the sparkly things out there, but we know what love is. Stupid is as stupid it does. That's another way of saying wisdom is vindicated by her deeds, by her children. The flip side of that. Just as stupid is as stupid does, love is as love does. Seeing my child, now grown and adulting, working on that, adulting, seeing her still love and desire, seeing her simply loving and serving the Lord, still loving her church. She plays tough, but she's a softie. She loves. Seeing her still love and desire the Lord's good, even for all those who've moved on from her and from the Lord. Seeing her go from that 7-year-old blonde girl in gymnastics stepping on my foot to the woman of faith and love she is now. The godly wisdom in our choosing to serve and stay, I can humbly say and gratefully say, has been vindicated by our child. We are all here by the grace of God, only by the grace of God. I know too many of us have experienced children coming out of leaving the church, coming back to the church. Some have come back great. Some haven't come back yet. We pray. While there's breath, there's hope for anyone and everyone. I promise you, as Scripture does, your life of faith, your life of continuing in the faith is not in vain. It resonates. It speaks. It makes a difference. Don't be too disheartened. Don't give up hope. We may not rate compared to the sparkly things, but so many of us are right here and are right now because we know what love is. As this woman at Jesus' feet knew and lived and felt and showed. Old Landmark, Church of Spokane, you've shown us all. You know what love is. As your love is, you have done for us. Funny story. Look at that. Funny story. Can y'all still hear me okay? Can you hear? No. I was an amateur community theater actor, but I'm not going to act this out or mime this. Again, I'm sadly not going to be here tomorrow, so I need to say this here and now. Old Landmark, your love for your Lord and how you have honored him this week and how you have cared for all of us. Love is as love does. Your love clearly shows. And thank you for that. We have definitely been blessed by all of you from that. I want to thank the men who brought the devotionals, and I mean this. Brothers Richard, Paul, Andrew, Robert, Elias, all of you. I got something out of every single one. I've jotted things down. You'll all be grateful I didn't jam it into the message and drag that out longer, but it was tempting. But you added to me. Iron sharpening iron, brick adding on to brick. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Noah Ward. I preached at you, but I'm going to thank you. You reminded us that repentance, forgiveness, and love are not for emergency use only. Break glass if needed. That's sometimes how we treat it. Okay, now it's bad enough. Okay, let me break out the grace of forgiveness because here we go. No, but a way of daily life and living to which we're called. Thank you, Brother Howard, for reminding us of our Father, our always faithful provider. All else can change around us, yet he remains the same. His loving care and provision remain the same, if we'll only look to him for it. Thank you, Brother Cardona, for reminding us that Jesus wants to have an impactful relationship with us, just as he did with Mary Magdalene. May we embrace that and be inspired by that to now go serve. Serving him, serving each other, and our communities. Brother Big Dan Ford. There's another Dan. Fear tolerated is faith contaminated. I spent the last two messages preaching about John the Baptist. You reminded me of what his father said. In fact, I'll just go there real quick. You don't have to turn there. I'll just share it real quick. Luke chapter 1, when his father could finally speak. What did he say? Luke chapter 1, Zacharias, father of John the Baptist, said in verse 72, what was all this about? What was God doing in bringing John the Baptist and preparing the way for the Lord who is coming? Verse 72 of Luke 1, to show mercy to our fathers, to remember his holy covenant. Yes, the covenant is important. The oath which he swore to our father Abraham. Yes, Abraham is important to us Jews or Gentiles. 74, to grant us that we, being rescued from the hand of our enemies, would serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness, before him all our days. I like the sound of that very much. Forgiven much, are we ready to love much? Love Jesus by loving others. Extending grace, kindness, just being happy to be here. Happy each other is here. Can we be at every single church service, happy to be there, happy for everyone else who is? Period. While seeking more others to bring here too. There are others who aren't of the fold yet. Are we awake and alive enough to know what matters? And all those things that don't matter that can be let go. I encourage and exhort the church to Tulare all the time with these words. Are we never going to let sin have the final say? No matter how much we still struggle with our own flesh and each other's flesh. Yes, we are still in it. Are we never going to quit on ourselves or on each other? Are we going to see ourselves and each other all the way through to that final river crossing? Those beckoning shade trees of rest. Are we going to be the church bride together, joyfully and urgently, making ourselves ready for the coming one? Because we've been forgiven much, we're going to love Jesus much, love our church brethren much, and without loving the sin, love the people out in this broken world much. Will we recommit, renew our baptismal vows, resolve to live out the love of Jesus we freely received in? Will we keep fresh and urgent our gratitude for, our appreciation of each other, the Lord who calls us, who unites us, and yes, who sends us? 1, 2, 3. The what? Jesus saves. Are we to look for another? We have a new birth to rejoice in. 2. So what? Get baptized. Being least in the kingdom is greater. Greater than what? Anything possibly could have on earth. There is a new home to belong with for that new birth. And finally today, 3. Now what? Go serve. We've been forgiven much. Let's love much. We have a new identity to live out. Let's rejoice in that. Praise God for that. Thank God for that. And live that out and rejoice in that together. That's what I have. Could we have a song?